Good morning and welcome to Sonoma County Focus. My name is Michelle Marquis, and in studio with me I have Angie Dillon Shore, the Executive Director for First Five Sonoma County. Good morning, Angie.
Good morning, Michelle.
I also have with me Peter Rumble. Peter is the CEO of the Metro Chamber. Hi, Peter.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Sure. So we've got the Chamber and First Five Sonoma County here in studio because we want to talk about this initiative. It's called the Employer Supported Child Care Initiative. Peter, can you tell me a little bit about what this is?
Absolutely, yeah. This is a collaboration, really, in the true sense of that word, right? So we have First Five Sonoma County as the primary funder and a content expert. We have the Santa Rosa Metro Chamber coming together. We also have the support of the United Way of the Wine Country and Cradle to Career, and a lot of the child care experts, like 4Cs in the county, coming together to do something that's critically important, and we'll talk, you know, more about the why of that. This is an initiative to help bring employers to the table to start investing in child care services for their workforce. And that is a critical component in attracting a workforce and keeping a workforce. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about it, but it actually is shown to be a very high return on investment for an employer, one of the greatest things that they can invest in. So it's a really important initiative that I think can be a game changer for the North Bay and for Sonoma County in particular.
Is it just launching right now?
It's just launching right now. Yeah, absolutely. We're just getting underway. We finalized the agreement between the Santa Rosa Metro Chamber and First Five. We're starting to outreach to our partners now. First Five and the Chamber have been partners for a while, actually, well before the employer-based child care conversation. And we've been talking with employers about family-friendly policies in the workplace and how to really encourage a family as a way to both treat employees better, frankly, but also to keep their workforce intact and secure. And so we've had conversations around employer-based child care for a while, even before this agreement, and there's a lot of interest in it, frankly.
That's great. And Angie, tell us a little bit more about First Five Sonoma County, because some people are aware of it. We've got you know, some great messages out there that people understand that early child development is very important.
Sure. First Five Sonoma County is a, well, as Peter mentioned, we're a funder. We fund and support in a lot of ways programs and services and initiatives that support children 0 to 5 or prenatal to 5. And their parents and caregivers. So that is anything from, you know, increasing access to health insurance, making sure that child care and preschool is high quality and accessible, other kinds of health supports, dental health for children. We have a big problem with dental disease for very young children in our county. And then also supporting parents to be their child's first and really most important teacher.
Right, right. And understanding that the child's brain is developing so fast at
that's
that point.
Right.
And it's
that's
really
right.
important that kind, that type of care and that intensity and quality of care at that point is so vitally important.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of folks aren't aware that a child's brain develops about 80% of the infrastructure that lays the foundation for the rest of one's life before the age of 3. So
wow.
Pretty big window of opportunity
it
there.
It really is, yeah. So this is exciting. Why is this such an important issue to make sure that child care is hand in hand with employment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, Angie was touching on it a little bit, and as I alluded to sort of in my opening comments there, that, you know, child care and really quality child care, right? Not just, you know, putting your kid, you know, with a family or a relative or something, but really structured child care is so important because it does lead to better development over the lifetime of that individual, right? So there's that sort of human element. But it's also a key component of our community's infrastructure, just like roads and transportation and other systems of our infrastructure, right? Because it helps support our workforce in total. So, you know, just from a personal perspective, I'll tell you, you know, it costs thousands of dollars for my wife and I, right, to be able to put our kids in quality childcare. And so much so that, you know, during this summer where they're now in school, right, but during the summer, it doesn't make economic sense for my wife to continue employment because the cost of childcare and summer camps, et cetera, just outweighs what she's bringing home. So, you know, this is a way to get to where employers can keep their workforce intact, right? Mm-hmm. So it helps with recruiting costs. It helps with sick time. It helps with morale. It helps with so many things. To benefit one, that employer, two, our overall workforce, and three, just individual lives, right? So that's why it's so important from our perspective, right? So our large employers want to attract a workforce from other areas in the Bay as well as across the country. And we have these wonderful natural resources. We have wonderful infrastructure, and they need those little pieces that can tip them over the edge, right, where somebody's considering where to live and where to move. This is a key kind of element of where the up-and-coming workforce is looking at, right?
Sure.
So like
yeah.
the 25 to 40-year-old demographic. And I could just throw out a name like Patagonia, right? And so if you say, hey, Patagonia to a millennial, they'll say, you know, I want that job.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, you know, if it doesn't work out for me here in the camp, you know, it's a great company, right? It's a great company to work for because they invest in their employees. And they've looked at employer-based childcare, and they actually have found it cheaper to invest in employer-based childcare than to not. So in other words, they're getting more than 100% return.
Wow.
on their investment in employer-based childcare, right? So that's why it's so important.
Right, right. And we know that the fires had a huge impact.
Absolutely.
Can we talk a little bit about how big that was? I mean, there's immediate things that you can think of, you know, that people were unemployed, that people had to figure out what to do with their kids right away. But then what's the lasting impact that we're seeing this year, that we're seeing in the future?
Well, just the loss of the slots that we had from the fire, right? We lost two preschools, pretty large preschools, a lot of family child care homes, licensed family child care homes, and some after school programs. So that was, you know, about 450 slots for kids were just boom.
Wow.
That child care was lost.
That's big.
And then, you know, above and beyond that, we don't know. We're probably a few hundred slots for kids that, you know, were not licensed, so we can't track and we don't know exactly, but, you know, a relative or I should say license exempt, because it could be great care, just not something that we can track. But anyway, you know, there was a significant amount of care lost, which contributes to the access problem we already have. And then, you know, because people, many thousands of people were displaced, families included in that, it created a real issue for access in terms of geographic location. So folks, you know, lost their home in Coffee Park. Perhaps they were fortunate enough to find a home to rent for their family in Rohnert Park.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps they lost their child care as well. So maybe they have to drive all the way to, you know, Healdsburg or something, which then is added stress on folks that are already really struggling to create, you know, a continuity for their children and security for their children. So it has, you know, multiple layers of impact.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, already, you know, just as a parent, you're already going in a million different directions.
Right.
And then when this happened, just disruption of life, and then trying to figure out what do I do? Where my child caregiver is gone. They either moved away or their, you know, facility was destroyed, and now scrambling to find where is that place where I can take my child. That's really tough.
And that doesn't even touch on the economic, you know, stress that that creates. I mean, we already had a housing crisis before.
Mm-hmm.
It's really challenging for folks that were burned out. As Peter mentioned, the cost of childcare is just crazy, you know, just unaffordable for so many people. Your average care for an infant or a toddler is upwards of $14,000 a year. So, you know, when you live in a high-cost county as far as housing, a lot of folks have to choose between housing and can I afford childcare on my salary? And especially women are more impacted than men in general from that lower wage, and then especially a single mom. So you can see why it would be a huge disincentive to work if they can't afford both housing and childcare.
Wow. So when we talk about childcare, are we saying the same thing as daycare? Is that what we're talking about?
That's a really great question. So childcare is an umbrella term, right? It includes preschool, that includes small family child care, so a home-based care, often for infants and toddlers, and then also center-based child development centers, all licensed, right? So there are quality, you know, and structural requirements that are built into that licensing system, but all of those are under the umbrella of child care. I personally stay away from calling it daycare because it does have kind of the, you know, babysitting sort of connotation where there's not a lot of interaction and, you know, it's not really an enriching quality environment. And also daycare is a misnomer and actually something we need to address because a lot of parents work unconventional hours.
Different than 9 to 5
Monday through Friday. And, you know, ultimately quality childcare is, it's a nurturing, developmentally appropriate and safe environment with nurturing adults, an environment that really encourages learning and optimal child development.
So how can an employer incorporate this then into what they're offering? How do they do this? This seems like a big undertaking.
You know, it is a fairly big undertaking, but there's not just one way to do it. So an employer can take a look at what makes the best sense for them, both operationally and economically. And that is one of the major things that this initiative is undertaking, right, is bringing those employers to the table, working through various options, finding a site, right? This isn't just an initiative to have a conversation. This is looking for a site, identifying a builder, putting shovels in the ground, constructing a site, and having that employer or employers participate in funding those slots. And so it could come from the employers could fund it through the savings that they achieve through tax benefits and other financial savings, other HR savings that they have. They can provide direct subsidies. They can provide vouchers. They can have childcare on site, frankly, right? And so not building a new center in a location, but actually providing services, quality services on site. So there's a number of options available. And again, I think that that's one of the key questions and answers that we'll work through with employers.
Right. Are we also trying to look at successful models elsewhere? I mean, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. If there's people, like you mentioned, Patagonia, if there's companies, if there's people who are doing this already, can they show us the way to do it?
Absolutely. And Angie probably has some great examples as well. But I mean, all of those methods of financing are all in practice now. Right. So it's not a recreation of the wheel. It's not a it's a novel idea in the sense of it's fairly new for Sonoma County and needed for Sonoma County. It's not a new idea, you know, whole scale.
Sure.
Right. There's you know, tech companies in the Bay who are absolutely doing this already.
Right.
And again, getting back to our point about sort of a competitive advantage for Sonoma County, we already know that the cost of doing business here is substantially less than other places in the Bay Area. In some cases, you know, the Metro Chamber just hosted a morning event today to talk about downtown development. And we heard a statistic that it's 300% less to have office space here in Santa Rosa than in San Francisco. So that's important to bring an employer here to get their attention. What can bring them over the top is to say, and here's a way to bring that workforce with you,
right?
And to keep that workforce.
So is it difficult if we're talking about building new facilities? We're already in a crunch of where we can build things and how, you know, permitting and all of these things. Is that realistic that we can have employers building new facilities specifically for childcare?
It absolutely is realistic. Okay. Angie's probably got some thoughts on this as well. But just from the conversations with employers to date, we have some sites already potential. Some in the Northwest, so some around some of the burn areas, okay, right, which would provide a critical need for families, as Angie was mentioning before, right? Families who are displaced are already at a disadvantage in that they've got to travel probably a greater distance to their employer, mm-hmm, and now maybe they're going, you know, let's just say hypothetically, they're going to Healdsburg to drop their kid and then to Petaluma for work,
right,
or whatever it might be, right? But we have a site that's a potential in Northwest. We've got some conversations going on right now with some of our major employers for on-site, mm-hmm, as well.
Great.
So absolutely, it's realistic, it's doable. We wouldn't be entering into this agreement if we didn't think it was possible.
Let's talk a little bit about the connection between quality childcare and economic development. What are you seeing, Angie, in this realm?
Great. You know, research has quite well established the economic benefits of quality childcare. There have been great efforts to collect that data over time from employers and large employers throughout the Bay Area, but, you know, across the country. There are folks that have recognized that this is really important. The most robust research around sort of the benefits of quality care and economic development is some studies done by a Nobel Prize winning economist, Dr. James Heckman, and his work has demonstrated nearly $7 for every dollar invested in preschool in particular. And then he just published some research that shows an even higher cost benefit when you provide quality childcare from birth and you combine that with, you know, supporting parents. That could include workforce development, mm-hmm, you know, skills, prerequisite skills for a particular career, those kinds of things, so you can connect it in that way. And then, you know, an obvious economic benefit is that access to childcare supports the parents' participation in the workforce and their ability to then can, you know, have upward mobility and achieve greater earning potential over time.
Yeah, so. Yeah. When you think about it, I mean, if you can keep someone, develop those skills, get that person to, you know, become invested in the company because you're investing in them,
right,
they want to work harder, they want to improve, they want to build their career there and be, you know, a long-term employee. If you have to keep bouncing around because you can't find childcare, you can't build any of that.
That's right.
And even your productivity when you're at the job, right? So if you're at work, and we've all been here, you know, people who have kids or things going on in their family or personal life, you know, the mortgage or debt or whatever, and your mind is somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
If I'm worrying about, well, I gotta see if I can shave 5 minutes off this day because I need to go, you know, beat traffic to pick up my kid, mm-hmm, or I've got to do something, right? Your mind is elsewhere. And,
right.
And you're not as productive as you should be or could be. Mm-hmm. So,
Yep. Just another point about why it's so important. And also we can think about, too, like Europe. I mean, a lot of models of what they do and how important and just sort of it's natural. They do it. It's just sort of a natural idea. So it may be a little bit difficult to convince some employers when they're already trying to think, you know, what's cost effective or not. But this kind of data is important to show them that it can for the long term. It might be an initial investment to make this happen, but it's going to pay off.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we know that's true. I mean, we've had conversations around this data with some of our major employers. So we're talking about the hospital systems, talking about our research and technology firms, and they've all indicated, yeah, we're in. This makes sense. Bring us to the table. Show us how to get it done.
Right. Now, you said major employers. Is this practical for someone who is a small business person?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It absolutely.
Good. Good. So what does this look like? We talked a little bit about why it's important. So let's talk a little bit more about the nuts and bolts. What does it actually look like?
So Peter mentioned, you know, there are various options, various models. Mm-hmm. And so that's the kind of thing where if an employer is interested, we would sit down and have a conversation about, you know, what schedules are your workers, you know, what does that look like? Are there evening shifts? Is it Monday through Friday, 9 to 5? What kind of wage do they earn? Because we have various options in our community, opportunities for subsidized childcare, mm-hmm. right? And we can integrate that model in, as well as like Head Start, right?
Oh, yeah.
What are the numbers of kids that your employee that your employees have? Now that's going to be a point in time right then. So there
sure.
could be, you know, oh, we know we want to add, you know, 20 more positions in the next year. Well, then trying to project out what those age numbers and ages look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned, would this be feasible for a small business? So it could be repurposing some kind of on-site space mm-hmm. that they have. It could be bringing in a portable classroom onto the site. And then it can also be employers forming kind of a cooperative, funding together, whether they're funding
okay.
the construction
yeah.
or funding the fees for the childcare, but mm-hmm. kind of working together to do that. So that's
wow.
A great model for small businesses.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. That puts a lot of it sort of ownership and
yes.
pride. And yeah, that's great. I love
yeah.
that idea. So are there employers who are working with you right now on this?
Yeah, we've had conversations with, again, I mentioned the hospital mm-hmm. systems, but Kaiser and St. Joe have indicated a high level of interest. Medtronic, Keysight also. Sonoma County Office of Education, certainly as an organization. The County of Sonoma. The level of interest is there, you know, and broad. And just about every organization we speak with is interested in pursuing it further. And, you know, it's just a factor of how far some of our employers want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll need to, you know, probably pilot with a few who are most ready, all right, and demonstrate that this is something that can actually get done.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do believe that the ball will start to roll pretty quick after that.
All right. Well, we've got a big audience who's listening right now.
Yeah.
So if we have employers who are interested, no matter what size their business might be, how do they reach out to the Chamber and to First Five to get this going?
For the Chamber, I have an absolute rock star whose name is Ananda Sweet. And she oversees our workforce development and our advocacy and our policy work. And she can be reached at, of course, 707-636-3662. And she's done a tremendous amount of work on this issue, as well as other family-friendly policies and really acting as a bridge between employers and in the childcare community. So she's wonderful.
That's great. And that's Ananda Sweet. And the number again is 707-636-3662. And you can also probably head to the Metro Chamber website.
Absolutely
can.
Find
contact information.
Absolutely
there too.
Can. And I'm always available to the community.
Good. Great. And can people reach out directly to you if maybe they have programs that they are already implementing or ideas about childcare?
Absolutely. Both parents, you know, other caretakers and providers for family child care and mm-hmm. preschool. We would love to have your input, or if you need to get connected to a resource, please give me a call at 565-6627.
Can you give that
one
more
time? I'll
get
you where you need to go.
Sure.
565-6627.
Okay, great. And that'll reach you directly?
Yep.
Wonderful. Well, this is very exciting. I think that the more we can make it attractive for families to live here, to continue their careers here, this is great. It's a great thing. And take care of our kids on the way. Peter Rumble is the CEO of Metro Chamber, and Angie Dillon Shore is the Executive Director of First Five Sonoma County, talking about this wonderful employer-supported childcare initiative just in its infancy stages. Baby little reference there, but growing stronger, I'm sure, as we move along here. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
This is Sonoma County Focus.